Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And your boy is back. Rick Kamla back from my quasi-deathbed and back in the Kia Studios with my boys, John Michaels, Paul Bible, and Mark Owens. And ready for battle, man. We've got a lot of great topics for you today. We've got this Tack McKinley news that kind of has bowled all of us over, and we'll try to make sense of it and spin it forward. But I got a shout down and a shout up.
Okay.
The shout down is to Sprouts in Snellville, where I bought the food that was poisonous and got me very, very ill for about 40 hours. You know, one of those 1 to 2 day food poisoning joints, but I was pretty miserable for about 40 hours. Shout out to the two guys in the mobile IV that came. John gave me some great advice, and Charity did as well. John's like, get some fluids, get an IV. John said, go to the emergency room.
I'm
like, I am not going to the ER. I said this to Charity. I'm like, let's get me an IV, but I ain't going to the ER. She said, hey, let's look up a mobile IV unit. I'm like, there's no way somebody's going to come to our house with the IV and poke me in the arm and get me better. No. In 2019, that is distinctly possible. Shout out to my new friends, John and Cody. Cody was the stabber and did an amazing job. Did not have to do it twice or three times. Nailed it the first time. John was the owner of, look, it's a Furbus / mobile IV unit. He's hired out for like parties and stuff with
really?
This awesome van that he's got. Travels around town and you know, stabbing people in the arm with IVs and making them better, man. But shout out to John and Cody. Look them up on Google. Just look up mobile IV.
I had never heard of that before. It actually looked like a scene out of The Program where Latimer was trying to get clean. You had Rick with all this different stuff hooked up to him. But we found the root cause of all this, Rick. It had nothing to do with food poisoning. That's a great excuse for the bosses. It got you out of work a couple of days. Preacher, man, we talked about it yesterday. Rick really just doesn't want to get on the bike, and he figured if he played sick, that would be 2 days away from getting on the Peloton and doing some actual exercise.
All right, so I am not going to post this picture to social media, but Charity took this while the IV was in my arm. This was Monday at about 5 o'clock. I will show my boy John. So if you want to do a little play-by-play of that picture right there.
Yeah, it's basically Rick on the couch. Again, if you remember the scene from The Program where Latimer's trying to get clean and they've got the guy like filtering stuff through him. There's a giant IV bag. Where's Shakti in all of this? I'm surprised Shakti's
She was upstairs in her doggy bed because we had people over.
Okay, but yeah, Rick's laying on the couch. Nice big sectional there. Laid back. Are those pajamas you have on? Good job. That's good stuff there. But he's got the IV in his arm, and he's getting some fluids. He's getting healthy. And you're back here on a Wednesday.
Look, I might not be here were it not for that IV mobile unit right there, because I needed fluids, dude. You know how it is when everything just flushes out. But anyway, enough about me. We got a bunch of sports to talk, and I'm psyched to be back. Give me two takeaways from Monday, because I was so disappointed that I could not join you guys out at the Atlanta United training facility.
First of all, Brad Guzan is one of the coolest guys you'll sit and talk to. What an awesome dude. We had a chance to talk to him for a segment. Brad was great. Julian Gressel's a little more reserved, but he's a guy that's coming off a whirlwind offseason. You know, you win the MLS Cup, he then got married and went on a honeymoon, and now they're back.
No way.
Yeah, at 25 years old, he goes, oh, I'm in great shape. I'm ready to go out there and run again. Brad was like, yeah, we're excited to be back. He goes, ask me after preseason game number two. I won't be quite as excited. But yeah.
He's well into his 30s, right?
Yeah, Brad's like mid-30s. Yeah, but what a good dude. We had a lot of fun out there, and you know, it's out there a ways, is Atlanta United's training facility. But what a nice training. It's my first time being out there. They have hooked up.
Is it gorgeous?
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
Like state-of-the-art, right?
Yeah, a couple of really nice turf fields out there. And, you know, it's 30 degrees and windy, and there's guys out there running around. No problem. No, just shorts and a T-shirt, and off they go.
Were you guys inside or outside?
We were inside.
Nice.
Didn't hear us complaining. If we were outside, it wouldn't have been good.
I was wondering about that. Did Randy give us any week in review material?
Oh, of course he did. I mean, it's Randy. Whether he means so, and I think John Chuckery put his foot in his mouth a couple of times yesterday as well.
Did Randy finally own up to being a media member?
No, he would not.
By the way, a major shout out to Randy, man. I was dying early Monday morning, and I reached out to Randy. I'm like, because I know he's up at like 5 a.m.,
sure.
right? So I'm like, are you up? Are you available? He's like, I got you. I was like, oh, thank God.
Because
I didn't know 4:26 a.m. Monday morning. I wake up, and it was on and popping. I went to bed Sunday night. Fully thinking I was going to be with you guys with Atlanta United, and then a science experiment happened in my stomach.
Well, you know, Randy, I got nervous because you text us at about 7 and said, hey, I'm puking. I just text Terry and Sean. I'm not going to be there today. I immediately go, well, let me get prepared for 4 hours solo.
And by the way, that would have driven me nuts. That would have been heartbreaking
for me. I'd be fine, man.
I know you're a pro. You would have pulled it off, but my God, I mean, it's not. We needed a dude out there with you.
I mean, there were other dudes out there. We just put some people. Mike
Randy,
was there. Jason was there. I mean, everybody was there. Mark Owens, is that a TMZ hat? Oh, no, it says ATL. Sorry. There is a bad glare, and I just saw red, and it looked like a Z.
It's my seventh job now. I'm just chasing Hugh Douglas around in the parking lot going, hey, what do you think about the Eagles? Hey, what do you think about the Eagles? How are they going to do?
Hey, Hugh, Michael Smith, what do you think? Your thoughts?
Grab a snack. Sit down. We'll be here for a minute. Cheap plug to the website. Tricky Ricky, great interviews with Guzan and Gressel, and then also the entire press conference where they introduced the new coach. All of that is available at 929thegame.com. So his training camp for Atlanta United has opened up. We have everything taken care of. I know Conti and Jimmy Vance have been doing a lot of work this season as well. And speaking of cheap plugs, brand new 10-minute tailgate tour, mm-hmm. soon to be world-famous 10-minute tailgate
soon
tour. This weekend is Chop Fest out at SunTrust Park, and I have inside information that you
Ooh.
Can't get anywhere else. That is on the 10-minute tailgate tour, which you can find at 929thegame.com.
Preacher, man, I got to give you full props. Waffle House dropped off some food here. And you stopped me from going downstairs to buy food. You go, dude, there's Waffle House here. All right, you'll go get a little bit of waffle and get some of the hash browns. You just held strong, didn't eat any of it.
And it was here before you got it. I mean, I was here when it was delivered fresh and hot, and I refrained. I even took a picture of my wife and told her and said, this is what I could be eating right now.
Yeah, I did not refrain because there was some hash browns covered with some meat on there and a little onions. So I got some of that and a little piece of waffle. Knox also didn't refrain.
Yeah, Knox didn't refrain either.
Knox goes, I'm not going to eat this waffle. Okay, I'll have one like the corner of the waffle. I look back, that waffle was completely disintegrated.
So one potato chip turned into 20?
Yeah, it turned into an entire bag.
I don't know. This is like breaking news right now, but Zach Klein just tweeted this out. Probably about 2 minutes ago, Atlanta United's Franco Escobar will miss 6 to 8 weeks after suffering a fractured clavicle on the opening day of training camp.
That's not good. How do you get hurt at training camp?
Are you freaking kidding me? Well, what that tells me, I mean, is that they were going hard.
Yep.
And they were physical, and he got banged to the ground, and he breaks his freaking clavicle?
That's what's up.
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
Shotgun to Winston. Up in the center of the pocket, and he'll be sacked. And that time it was Tack McKinley that got him.
That's Wes Durham on the call. Tack McKinley with the sack, and not the same type of news yesterday. Atlanta Falcons defensive end Tack McKinley undergoing a mental evaluation right now following an incident at an L.A. hotel earlier in the week. Apparently, McKinley was cooperative when police arrived on Tuesday afternoon. He was detained without criminal charges being filed. He reportedly agreed that it would be in his best interest that he's brought to a local hospital to undergo evaluation shortly thereafter. We'll read Dan Quinn's statement, what he had to say about Tack McKinley. Long story short, a buddy of Tack's called the police. Police went out there. Tack agreed to go in for a mental evaluation. But let's give away $1,000 before we read what Dan Quinn had to say.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
First. F-I-R-S-T. John, if you're not
first,
you're last.
Darn right you are. Ask Alabama.
Yeah, they're not in
first
anymore. It is Clemson right now. F-I-R-S-T, first, like first base. You remember back in the day when you got to first base, how happy you were? Yes, first.
Yeah, because I would steal second and steal third and be in scoring position. Oh, you're talking about a different first base. Sorry.
Oh, man. All right, so you have until 10:59 to text first to 72881. Text first to 72881. Again, the number is 72881. Text first. Messenger data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. John, we're trying to give the people $1,000 yes. for simply listening to the mighty Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's what Dan Quinn had to say. He released a statement yesterday regarding Tack McKinley. He said, we were recently made aware of the situation involving Tack in Los Angeles earlier today. Anytime a situation occurs that is or could be related to mental health issues, we take it seriously. He said, we will do everything we possibly can to support and assist Tack, as our players' mental and physical well-being are always our top priority.
And we all feel the exact same way. And like I'm feeling for Tack, like he's my dude. What's going on with him? Is he going to be okay? It does cause me to think about Everson Griffin of the Minnesota Vikings,
yes,
who also had an incident. And we don't know the details of this quote-unquote incident. It might not have been an incident. It's being reported as such right now. Everson Griffin was away from the Vikings for, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks, John. He did come back, played the final 9 games of the year for the Vikings, had 4.5 sacks over that span. So he wasn't quite the dude he was before having to leave with the mental health issue. But apparently it's resolved for Everson Griffin, and hopefully we can get this resolved with Tack McKinley and he can be healthy.
You know, Tack's a guy that obviously plays with a lot of emotion. He plays with a lot of intensity. He is right on the edge on the field. That's what you want, a guy that's given everything that he's got. You hope that this was an isolated situation and whatever they can do, whether it's medication or evaluation, Tack can get back on the right accord. Well, the Hawks, they win a basketball game last night. A very, very entertaining game. Tell me you don't like the NBA at 142-126. Isn't this what guys want? Scoring, a little bit of defense every now and then. But the Hawks have a great second quarter in which they score 45 points. They run away from the Thunder. John Collins, 26-5, that's all. 2 assists. You know, he's just, I mean, he's just that dude. What he's doing. Trae Young, 24 points, 11 assists as well. That's staring down big bad Russell Westbrook and going, all right, whatever you got, Russ, I'm going to come right back at you.
This was his hometown team, of course, growing up in Oklahoma. I believe he grew up in Oklahoma
City. From Texas. He's from somewhere in Texas, but he played his college ball right outside of Oklahoma City.
Right. So, obviously, familiar with this team, and they drubbed him last night. Trae Young, 24 points and 11 dimes. But here's the thing. So Dennis Schroeder got a little shady with the team, his former team, saying, like, I'm happy to be with this new winning organization instead of going out there and trying to lose or something like that, sort of alluding to the T word here,
right,
in Atlanta. And we know what the overall plan is, okay? But he essentially threw some shade on it, saying it's so much more fun to be in the fast lane playing for a winning team than it is to be playing for a team who's trying to accumulate ping pong balls and top picks. Schroeder played well last night, 21 points and 6 dimes, but obviously 142 to 126. This is going to go down, John, against, by the way, a really good Oklahoma City team, one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. Paul George, an MVP candidate. Russ, a little bit down the chart for MVP, but one of the best teams in the West. This will go down as one of the best wins of the season for the Hawks.
Absolutely, and you know, I know there's a lot of people say, stop winning. This is a young, fun team, and you're going to have nights like this where they're going to go out and beat a really good Oklahoma City team, and then you're going to have nights they turn around and lose to the Bulls, and you're going to go, how the hell that just happened?
The difference between us and the Bulls and the Knicks and these other really down teams, our guys are fighting.
Yes.
These other teams don't fight every night. Our guys do, and no, that's not good news for the lottery.
Well, the Golden State Warriors took the fight out of the Nuggets last night, 51 first quarter points. That was supposed to be a great matchup. 142-111, the Nuggets get blown out.
Another high-scoring game, just your style. Here's the cool thing, man. Most points in a first quarter in NBA history, and Golden State leapfrogged Denver into first place in the West by a half game. How about that?
Yeah, that's why I've told everybody, don't worry about the Warriors. They'll be just fine. How worried are you, though, about Tack McKinley? We're going to get into that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Cody was the stabber and did an amazing job. Did not have to do it twice or three times. And here we go. Yeah, shout out to Cody and John. They helped me get back to full speed and back on the air here on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, they have the mobile IV unit. It was not cheap, but I had to do what I had to do to get back on the air, man. I got mouths to feed and my guys to hang out with. John Michaels, Mark Owens, Paul Bible. And we are here in the Kia Studios with this news about Tack McKinley. And, John, you mentioned it. He's in a hotel room in L.A. A friend grows concerned, calls the cops. The cops come. Tack is friendly and cooperative.
Right.
He agrees with the cops that it's a good idea to be detained for mental evaluation. And I want to stress detained,
right,
not arrested. Just it was a conversation. Let's get you to, you know, a hospital and you know, let's have a mental health evaluation because people are concerned about you. And Tack McKinley, according to reports, agreed with that. They didn't, you know, drag him kicking and screaming to the hospital. He complied with the whole thing. Pardon me. So here we are. No charges were filed. And Dan Quinn has issued a statement, of course, saying, you know, we're behind Tack. We're going to do what we can to support him and all of that. but this has me worried about Tack McKinley. Now, I would bet that he is in the lineup for our Falcons, ready to go in week one of 2019. But this is it's concerning, John, because it's mental health, and it's not a knee injury, an ankle injury, a shoulder injury, something with a finite recovery time, something that can be defined and explained. This is a mental health thing, and it's very mysterious and unknown to a lot of us. And I just hope Tack is okay. I know mental health is nothing to mess around with. It's nothing to diminish or downplay. And I'm worried about him, man. I do think he'll be there week one of 2019. But, John, this is hopefully I'm wrong about this, but to me, this is a speed bump right here for him.
Here's the one thing I'll say first. He's got a really good friend. Whoever the person was that was able to call the police and figure out what was going on, because there are some friends that obviously they try to handle it themselves. Say, hey, you're my boy. We've been through whatever together. Do this. And it could either escalate or de-escalate the situation. And the last thing you would want is where it had gotten escalated to a point of where Tack McKinley suddenly is on TMZ for being arrested. Suddenly Tack McKinley's on there for maybe destroying a hotel room. We've seen stuff like that transpire where something's going on and it goes from 0 to 100 real quick. So that friend, first of all, needs to be commended for being able to, A, get the officers out there, B, to keep Tack calm enough where Tack was, all right, I need to go do this. You also have to give Tack some credit in all of this, because how many people go, dude, I'm not going for a mental evaluation, and you leave kicking and screaming where they have to drag you out to do so? All the reports that we have is Tack said, all right, yeah, I do need to go do this. Let's go make this happen. And so give some credit right up front to Tack and to his friend for de-escalating this situation.
Zay Jones of the Buffalo Bills needed that friend on that night in a hotel room. Preacher Man, help me out. I think this is a From the Bible story. You remember the Bills wide receiver Zay Jones? I want to say he was naked in a hotel room and threw his somehow got his leg smashed through a window.
Yep.
It was that in Atlanta?
No,
it was in L.A.
It was in L.A. So
he was not only naked in a hotel room, he was naked in a hallway.
Yeah, he wasn't just in the room.
So it can go that way. And to my knowledge, Zay Jones has not undergone a mental evaluation. That might have been too much of this or that, overserved that night. Who the heck knows? But to your point, John, yeah, he did have a good person or persons around him that night. But it brings to mind this, John, and this is where the worry comes from. What happened in that hotel room?
Right.
So a friend does not grow concerned and call the cops until something's going on.
Exactly.
And something serious is going on. And so, again, I'm not trying to yell fire in a theater. I'm not trying to create trouble for Tack McKinley. But I'm a sports detective, and we've got a situation to analyze. And the one detail that we do not know is, well, there may be others, but the one that I'm focusing on is what caused Tack McKinley's friend to call the cops.
Right.
And what does that look like? What is that? And I don't know, John, if we're ever going to find that out. But to me, in 2019, with the snoops that we have in terms of great reporting and great journalism, and it seems like the lid is opened on a lot of secrets that we have in life, let alone a story that we have. So I believe that we will find out what happened in that hotel room that night.
I'll be honest, I don't know that it's our business what happened, as long as things progress the right way. Now, if something goes even more sideways, or they find out there's something, God forbid, seriously wrong with Tack McKinley, I think that's when you start to figure things out. The fact that he's in there, they try to keep those things secret, unless it's something, again, like Zay Jones, who puts his leg through a window, where you can't really keep it secret anymore. Maybe in the coming days we find out what happens. I don't think we will. Here's my concern with this. Typically with mental health, it takes a while to get it right, or it takes medication to get it right. Does that change who Tack McKinley is? Now, if it changes him for the better, great. We obviously are concerned about him as far as a human being, more so than a football player. But if it comes and you want to do the full circle of what we're talking about here, just say you figure out and you can get him better, but it affects his football game. Well, that affects his livelihood. So I'm hoping you can find something that maybe he just has to get some stuff off his chest, and this is his opportunity to do so.
Well, I've got a couple other examples for you of mental illness impacting professional ball players. I bring them up only because, you know, I'm not trying to bring negativity to this situation. So it may sound like I'm doing that with these stories, but I'm not. You remember Royce White?
Yeah.
First round pick.
Iowa State.
Mid first round to the Houston Rockets. I think Kevin McHale was the shot caller down there at the time. Well, he had this thing where he couldn't fly, right? Mm-hmm. And he just had this fear of flying, and you know, they diagnosed it, and he had, you know, mental illness, and he had issues, and never was able to overcome them and realize his first round talent. Did not work out for Royce White. I would submit to you that it only kind of sort of worked out for Ron Artest, a.k.a. Meta World Peace. Like, and didn't he sell his, I think he sold his finals rings to help raise awareness for mental health issues. So
right.
He's doing what he can. But his career, John, was really choppy. It was misstep after misstep after misstep. And then, obviously, kind of got it right with the Lakers, helped them win. I think he was on at least one of the back-to-backs with Kobe and Powell. Made some big shots in that Game 7, as we remember. So it's really hit and miss on how guys that have these mental health things are moving forward. Everson Griffin, John, was not quite the same dude.
Right.
After he came back from Minnesota last year. Like I said, 4.5 sacks in 9 games, but he's a almost sack-per-game guy. And so I don't know. I don't know what happened there, but we're all pulling for Tack. But that's why I'm worried a little bit here, because when mental health is applied to this stuff, it's murky, it's unknown, it can go good, it can go bad.
Well, and you also wonder, and this goes to what happened in the room, but also what could be going on outside of football. You know, Tack may have had something he's dealing with off the field, a friend, a family member. You obviously know he's very tight with his family. We go back to draft night, what was said about his grandmother, you know, having the picture up there. Tack cares. You know, Tack cares a lot. He's a very passionate individual from the times I've been around him. You know, we've all seen how he plays on the field. He's given every ounce of effort that he has. So you wonder now, was there something outside that may have triggered a little bit of a breakdown with Tack McKinley?
I mean, like you said, we may never know that, and I'm just concerned that you know, no matter what that adversity was, mm-hmm. that it caused Tack to get into such a scenario that a friend was concerned to the point where they had to call the cops. And like you said, it's a really good look on Tack that he was cooperative and just kind of went with the flow, and maybe John recognized through his friend's concern that, whoa, you know, maybe there's something up with me that. You know, because, John, what do we do? I mean, and he's way tougher than you or me.
Right.
But as a pro ball player and as specifically an NFL player. But you know how tough guys operate. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine.
And right? Then all of a sudden you're not fine.
And then all of a sudden you're not fine. So, again, hopefully he can get the right, you know, evaluation here and the right whatever it is. Is it irresponsible for me to say medication? I mean, I don't know.
Potentially.
I don't know if that's where this goes, but it could. You know, Meta World Peace had to get on medication. And I'll look it up here in between the – I think he had bipolar disorder. And as you know, John, when you have bipolar disorder, you usually need medication for that.
There's a lot of people that deal with that on a day-to-day basis at work. You know, there's a lot of people in your office that might be dealing with some type of mental illness. And that's why this is nothing to, you know, I saw disgusting comments on social media. And you know what? There's some of you people that you get what you deserve when you start talking sideways to a lot of folks. But it's nothing to play around. That's why the league's not playing around. That's why Dan Quinn had the statement that he had. They're going to treat this like he tore his Achilles. You know, they're going to do whatever they can to make sure Tack is healthy by the time he comes back.
So I'm looking up right now, Meta World Peace, as a player, was clinically diagnosed with depression and bipolar disorder. So he's now a champion for raising awareness for mental health
right.
and doing some good stuff with that. And look, this goes back to Ron Artest, to his childhood. And I believe he was a Queensbridge kid and, you know, tough upbringing and but he has made it right. Hopefully Tack can make it right as well.
Question becomes now from a football perspective. Would this change the way that the Falcons go about free agency and the draft? We'll talk about that next. What could they be doing on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Manning goes to the gun. Atlanta trying to get there. Pressure coming. Sacked. Tack McKinley.
The voice of our Falcons, Wes Durham on a Tack McKinley highlight. We're the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and we're on Tack McKinley. And what happened in L.A. where something happened and a friend was concerned, called the cops. Cops came to an L.A. hotel room. Tack was cooperative. He was detained and cooperative while being detained, not arrested, detained. And so now they're evaluating his mental health. The Falcons have a statement saying that they're fully behind Tack McKinley. And now John and I are opining here in the Kia Studios on a Wednesday morning. So, John, what we have here in the question, does this news change the Falcons draft philosophy? John, I think it does.
Okay.
I think that, and look, if we pass on a defensive lineman in the first round and take an offensive lineman, I'm going to be very happy about that because that, I think, is the number one priority. However, I already kind of sort of think that DeAndre Baker or Greedy Williams are possible picks for our Falcons at 14 in this draft already. So now you have this Tack McKinley stuff, and we don't know how it's going to go. If we're going to get a bunch of good news on it, it's going to be there's nothing more to see here. Everything is fine. We're moving. Or is it something?
Right.
We don't know that right now. So to me, John, and I think it was already maybe the priority. Didn't we hear from Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn from the presser, or when TD was with John and Hugh, that offensive line sounds like the priority for this team?
It did, yes.
Now, he didn't say, we're taking an offensive lineman in the first round, but when you read between the lines, it kind of sounded like that's the way they were leaning. Maybe that's still the case, John. And if we get good news on Tack, then proceed as planned. But if they don't get good news on Tack, then I think the door could be open to a best player available scenario where maybe you take Jeffrey Simmons of Mississippi State. I saw that Montez Sweat of Mississippi State was mocked to us at 14 by another outlet. So I do think this is game on a little bit with that first-round pick.
I still don't. I still think it's going to be a line of scrimmage no matter what. It's going to be offensive or defensive line. I think corner, they may draft somebody. It ain't going to be in the first round. If they draft a corner in the first round, they better draft three offensive linemen or three defensive linemen the rest of the way. Here's the thing with Tack. To think that it could affect the draft is to think the Tack's not going to be here for any length of time. And as of right now, I don't think any of us have the idea that Tack is going to miss time for the Atlanta Falcons. He's still a young dude. He's still under contract. You know, what do you have, 6.5, 7 sacks this year?
Seven. A
couple down from what you wanted. You'd like about 10 out of them, but you got 7. Not bad. Excuse me. The problem with that is, they were in spurts. It was a lot early and then a few late, and then in the middle there was a whole lot of nothing. Vic Beasley is obviously a guy that you're going to try to bring back at defensive end at your number. You're not going to bring him back there. Now, if Vic walks and there is something wrong with Tack, yeah, you're going edge rusher immediately. Heck, you might sign 2 edge rushers during the offseason. But I still think it's going to be an O-line, D-tackle, meat part of the draft. And then as you get to the fourth round, you start filling out some of the other needs.
I don't think you understood me perfectly clearly there. I don't want a cornerback in the first round.
No, I'm not saying you want one.
Would it blow you away?
Yes.
Why? That's kind of been their history. They take wide receivers and cornerbacks early in drafts. They did it again last year. I'm just saying, like, I don't want that. I don't think it'll happen, but to exclude it as a possibility for this team, I think is a mistake.
I if they take a corner in the first round of the draft, I will be blown away. I don't care if it's Greedy Williams. I love Greedy Williams. I think he's a great football player. I would be absolutely blown away if they take corner. Unless, and this is the only caveat, unless they've signed 5 linemen during free agency, and that's where the NFL gets it right. You do your grocery shop, and then you pick your new goods afterwards. If they sign 5 linemen, meaning 2 or 3 D linemen and 3 offensive linemen, yeah, it probably changes the way that they think come draft time. But if they don't go, you know, completely over the top with their spending, corner to me is probably the 5th need that you have in the first round.
What if you cut Robert Alford?
I'm still not drafting a corner in the first round.
I'm just saying, like, I think to exclude it as a possibility here in this conversation is a mistake. But I want line of scrimmage as well. I mean, that's how you win championships. That's how you gut out playoff games, especially on the road, is with line of scrimmage play. Look at the games on Sunday. Whoever dominates the line of scrimmage is going to win those games. We all know that. It's an adage in the NFL. John, what this is, though, with Tack McKinley, to get back to him, it's another indication that we might have missed on the first-round pick of Tack McKinley.
Could have.
Okay? We might have missed on that pick. The jury is still out right now. He's already had surgery, John, on both shoulders.
Right.
He's already kind of an injury-prone dude. And I love him. I'm ride or die with him. I'm willing to suffer through those missed games to get the good of Tack. But the reality of it is, he is an injury-hit dude. And now he's got this. As you said, the play's kind of inconsistent. Mm-hmm. It's kind of erratic. And this is a first-round pick.
Right.
This is a guy who should be projected at 10-plus sacks safely. But we can't do that with Tack McKinley. And again, I'm not banging on the dude. I love the dude. But and he's got hopefully a long way to go in his career. But when you start adding up the ledger, the positive and the negative, the stuff on the negative side is starting to stack up a little bit.
Yeah, and that's where if there is, and just again, if there's anything where Tack may miss some time, I think edge rusher is somebody that they're going to look at anyway. Now, probably not in round one unless somebody is sitting there that you just can't pass up. But I would go O-line, interior D-line, edge rusher. I think you need another linebacker. Those are my top four needs if I'm looking at the Falcons throughout the offseason.
So, look, I agree with you, but if they let go of Alford.
Corner's still beneath those to me.
How could it be beneath those if you let go of Alford?
Because I still think Isaiah Oliver, you slide him in as a starter. You have Desmond Trufant as a starter.
That's dicey.
You draft a guy in the second round. What, are we going to hold him? We're going to put training wheels on him for 4 years? No, you're year two. Buck up, dude. Get out there and go play corner.
I get it. I love the mentality, but is he ready for that?
That's the reality of the NFL, whether you're ready or not. Get your. If you can't play, we got to find out if you can't play.
But we can't. We're trying to win a championship here. This isn't a look-see season. This is an experimental season. We're trying to load back up for a championship run, and if my second cornerback ain't ready for prime time, we're not going to win 11, 12 games. You know what I mean?
And if your offensive line and your defensive line and your linebackers aren't better, I don't care who you have playing at corner.
It's a good debate, man. It's a good debate.
And the other aspect to that is don't forget about the KZ aspect. You know, I know Rico may not be back 100% day one, but KZ becomes a wild card in the secondary where I think his versatility to play corner, to play nickel, to play safety, that's going to leave it where I don't think the priority in the secondary is quite as big as everybody else does because you've got a guy that can play multiple positions and play them well.
All right, I'm a bash. You just put a hook in my mouth. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And you might get me into the boat with that.
Well, and I'm gonna fillet you, and then I'm going to have you later on a sandwich with a little hot sauce.
Just slice me right open, grill me, and I'll be lovely. I'll be better than the pre-made
I like fried
food I had
fish
from
better
you know
than
where.
Grill. But that's just...
Yeah, I do. I like it, too. I like it, too. I don't know why I said grilled right there. But look, if Casey is that wild card that can just go to cornerback and hold it down, then I just back off of that whole thing. And again, I don't want a cornerback in the first round.
Right.
But the history of our drafting says that it is a possibility. That's all I'm saying. The precedent is there for us to take cornerbacks and wide receivers very high in drafts. That's all I'm saying.
And they
want line of scrimmage.
They have done it before. You know, Keanu Neal was a, wow, you took Keanu Neal, but you needed a safety. I just think, like I say, when I go down the list of what's needed, I need three offensive linemen. Probably, realistically, you're going to have two new offensive linemen on the team. Depending on what you do with Schrader, do you restructure? Do you cut him? I think Fusco's going to get a chance to compete at guard. I think everything else other than the two guys that they've already talked about, Mack and Matthews, is up for grabs. You absolutely have to get at least one more interior defensive lineman. Grady's going to be here. Jack played really well. Deidre Sinnott is a rotation guy right now that you hope to be better. And I think you absolutely need another edge rusher. You got Tack, you got Vic, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Then what? Brooks Reed's at the end of his rope. Derek Shelby's not coming back after injury. Steven Means, I mean, I get he played hard. I thought he earned a chance to be on the team.
Agreed.
But do you want Steven Means being your number three defensive end?
No. Uh-huh.
So I think you go there. Foye Aluakon, okay, looks like he can play. Could I upgrade there? Maybe. Riley, eh.
Yeah, look, the bottom line is the DeMonte Casey card is huge. It's absolutely huge. It's got me thinking, John, that we could just say goodbye to Robert Alford and put him there. Like, why are we dancing around this? Let's just do it. We're talking about this as a possibility. Did Casey end up leading the NFL in interceptions?
Yeah, he was tied for the league.
With seven. Why can't he ball hawk from the corner?
He can.
I'm just saying, like, that to me is the solution right there.
And that could. And I don't know that the solution is putting Casey outside full-time and go, hey, that's your number one corner. The solution is Isaiah Oliver can play. Desmond Trufant's your other one. DeMonte Casey becomes your wild card to play anywhere. You re-sign Poole. You hope Rico's healthy. Secondary's pretty much fixed.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that works out. Hey, let's get into some Braves conversation when we get back. Rick and I are going to debate, and it might get ugly because the NL East is getting better. And the Braves have sort of stood pat. We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm going to fillet you, and then I'm going to have you later on a sandwich with a little hot sauce.
Just slice me right open, grill me, and I'll be lovely.
It's 11 a.m. in the ATL, and you're listening to Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, we like to fart around a little bit here in the Kia Studios, Rick and John, and let's talk Braves, ladies and gentlemen. I'm worried, man. I'm worried. I'm worried, John.
Step back off the ledge, Rick.
John, I'm worried.
It's not your fault.
Let me read this to you, John.
It's not your fault.
The Philadelphia Phillies, according to USA Today's Bob Nightingale, have visions of signing Bryce Harper, Dallas Keuchel, and Craig Kimbrell. There you go. See ya.
Mm-hmm.
See ya. Harper, Keuchel, and Kimbrell. Braves fans. And I'm one of them. You are me, I am you. That's what the fast lane feels like. That's what the fast lane feels like, John.
But let's see if they
wouldn't
get
them first.
Wouldn't
it be great if we heard ATL has visions of Harper, Keuchel, and Kimbrell? Because guess what, John? We could use all three guys. Harper takes over for Markakis. Keuchel enters the starting rotation, and Soroka and Tuki Toussaint are going to have to wait their turn. Kimbrell is the cherry on top at the end of your bullpen. We need all three guys. Oh, the Phillies might get all three guys. The Phillies get all three of those guys, they might win the World Series.
Well, they'll definitely be at the top of the
NL. I'm probably getting ahead of myself with that because you got the Astros and the Yankees and the Red Sox and all that. But the Phillies would become that squad because they're already pretty good. And then you add those three guys. So, and by the way, according to this report, Philly higher-ups had a lengthy in-person meeting with Harper on Saturday in his hometown of Las Vegas. And apparently, according to this report, it went so well, the team has shifted its focus to Harper rather than Manny Machado.
Right.
And the Nats, I'm telling you right now, he will not be – you were right, I was wrong. I will give it to you. He will not be a National next year. They don't need him. Victor Robles, Adam Eaton, Juan Soto. You right there have one of the best outfields in Major League Baseball. Without Bryce Harper, and that's assuming that Victor Robles, one of the hotshot prospects in Major League Baseball, clicks. There's no – that you can talk to Nightingale, Graham McCauley, Ken Rosenthal. They will all bet on Victor Robles. Mm-hmm. There is not a baseball head in America who would bet against that guy right now. He's a can't-miss prospect. So they don't even need him. So you were right, John. I was wrong. He will not be a National next year.
Here's the thing with that. If they go out, and again, this is a big if, you go out and sign Harper, Keuchel, and Kimbrell. Yeah, you've passed everybody in the National League East. I think if they sign just Bryce Harper, the Phillies who finished, I believe in second, they may have finished third. I forgot because at the end of the year, the Nationals won a couple of games and whatnot. I would say the Phillies have vaulted themselves at minimum even with the Braves, if not have already surpassed them if you go out and you sign a Bryce Harper. But that's also assuming the Braves have nobody get better from last year. And you're talking about Ronald Acuna in year two. You're talking about Fulton Evans taking the next step. Hopefully Sean Newcomb taking another step. A.J. Minter taking another. You know, there's a lot of guys, obviously, in the pipeline. Ozzie Albies is a guy that, you know, could get even better than he was a year ago. Assuming that nobody on the Braves gets any better and the Phillies just add what they add. Now, again, you take Keuchel and you take Kimbrell, it's a completely different story. I think they're right there with the Braves. The Nationals are obviously getting better. They've signed pieces, a new starting pitcher, you know, obviously another second baseman. They're going to be there. The one that aggravates me out of all of these is Dallas Keuchel because I would love to see him in a Braves uniform. You're talking about a guy that had uber success in the American League with the Houston Astros. Put him in here at the top of the Braves rotation. Even if you don't want him at number one, and he's your number two starter behind Fulton Evich. How good does that look with that lefty coming in behind Mike Fulton Evich?
Fulte has a all-star. Keuchel has a Cy Young. And that was, I think, 3 years ago with Houston, won 20 games and the whole thing. The Phillies were third in the NL East last year, by the way, John, at 80 and 82.
So the Nationals did pass them right at the end.
Yep. The Nationals, they weren't super hot at the end, but they finished 82 and 80. So where this comes from, ladies and gentlemen, is really the root of this, is that Phillies headline, that they might get Harper, Keuchel, and Kimbrell. And by the way, they have the big boy and the money to do it.
Right.
Okay? Do not sleep on a big market like Philadelphia putting all chips in the middle of the table. But, John, in terms of, Las Vegas submitting their odds for win totals for teams. And I'm looking at the Braves here, and I see last year we went. So that's your guess?
That would be my guess, over under 87.
So we won 90 games last year. The Vegas number is 84.
Okay.
So why does Vegas think that we're going to fall six games? And essentially they say, Vegas is saying right now, you were a playoff team, you're not going to be a playoff team. That's what they're saying. They have the Nationals at 88.5 wins. They have the Phillies at 83, which is one behind us. But watch the Phillies get these other guys, or one of them, and watch the Phillies then leapfrog our Braves. They've got the Mets at 83.5.
Okay, take the under.
A half game behind our Atlanta Braves. I'm just saying, we always dap up Vegas. Vegas knows all. They see it all. They get the over-under number on a football game within one, and it comes down to a frigging two-point conversion in the Dallas-Seattle
sure.
game, right? So we can't just poo-poo
nope.
this. So what Vegas is looking at is what I'm looking at. They see the Mets making whether they work or not, the Mets are making a ton of moves, man. The Nationals have made a ton of moves, and I'm going to break them down for you here in a minute. The Phillies have already made moves, and they're threatening to make even bigger moves. Vegas is looking at this like, Atlanta, what the hell are you doing? Oh, you got Josh Donaldson? That's cool. What's he going to play, 110 games for you next year? Oh, you got Brian McCann, 35 years old? We are sound asleep on what you all are doing in Atlanta. We have dropped you six games.
Well, what they're all
six games, John, that's a huge decrease.
Yeah, they're also looking at Fulton Evich, and they're looking at it from the flip side. Fulton's not going to be as good. Ronald Acuna has a sophomore slump. Ozzie Albies has a sophomore slump. That's what they're looking at. Freddie Freeman doesn't play at an MVP level at first base.
I disagree with that. I don't think they're – you don't have to assume a sophomore slump. And by the way, if you're doing that, you're an idiot. You're a moron. I don't think Vegas is assuming a drop-off in players. I just think that they're following what's happening in the offseason mm-hmm. of the hot stove, and they like what these other teams are doing, and they don't like what the Braves are doing.
And they could very well do that. I know you wanted to get into a Craig Kimbrell discussion. I know Craig's a guy that you'd really like to have here in Atlanta as the closer. I don't think Craig Kimbrell is the difference between making the playoffs and not. I think all the other ancillary pieces are. And I put together a nice little stat last year just for Kimbrell against the Braves closers. Now, the Braves had 19 blown saves as a team. Only four of them were out of the closer role, whether it was Vizcaino or A.J. Minter. Those guys combined for 75 and two-thirds inning pitch. They had four blown saves, two each, two by Vizcaino, two by A.J. Minter. Craig Kimbrell pitched 62 and a third innings last year on a better baseball team and had five blown saves by himself. So I think you can get by with what you have. Does Kimbrell stabilize and maybe it moves Visky to the eighth, it moves A.J. to the seventh, and now you've locked down the back end of the bullpen? Yes. But I think just in the blown save scenario, Kimbrell isn't a monstrous upgrade over the guys that you had back there.
Well, I disagree because Craig Kimbrell had a lousy second half, had a lousy playoffs. There's no question about that. And it's giving teams pause to pay him all of the money that he wants, especially at his age. Thing is, I think he comes back to Atlanta and is totally recharged. Fenway Park is one of the toughest parks to pitch in Major League Baseball. You know that.
Of course.
It's even tougher to pitch at than SunTrust Park. So, but I think the change of scenery, coming back home to Atlanta, you got your ring. I think it would all, like, energize Craig Kimbrell, and he'd be back to being nasty again. And what you do, John, you just said it. How much better do you feel about Vizcaino as our eighth inning guy? Minter is our seventh inning guy. Can Vizcaino stay healthy through an entire season? That's an enormous question mark right now. And A.J. Minter, I like him. I like him a lot. He's never been a full-time closer in Major League Baseball. Maybe a third of last year he was the closer and did well. But to me, again, we're trying to win big.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to win big here, guys and girls. So you're going into the season with hope if you go on with Vizcaino and Minter at the back end. If you have Kimbrell, you have confidence. And that's the point I want to make. To me, in Vegas, by the way, we'll chart this, dude. If we get Kimbrell, I promise you that Vegas number will rise from 84 up. But this is what, just to bum you guys out, I'm not trying to bum you out, actually. I don't want to do that. But just to sort of edify you about what the Nationals have done this offseason. They have been, John, probably the most aggressive team in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. You totally revamped your catcher spot with Yan Gomes of the Tribe and with Kurt Suzuki of our Braves. You bring back Matt Adams to play behind Ryan Zimmerman, who we know doesn't play every game. You still have Howie Kendrick to back up Ryan Dozier, who 2 years ago in the second half was an MVP candidate. Trey Turner, stud at short. Anthony Rendon, a stud at third. Juan Soto, almost won Rookie of the Year. Victor Robles, we just talked about him. He'll be their center fielder. Adam Eaton will play right, and he's a center fielder converting to right, which means their defense is going to be ridiculous. You add Patrick Corbin and Anibal Sanchez to Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg. And, oh, yeah, Joe Ross, who's coming off injury, they expected 15 wins out of him every year before his career got derailed with injuries. He's their fifth starter. Sean Doolittle, a bad bleep dude last year as their closer. They bring over Barraclough from Miami, a solid hold-slash-save guy. Rosenthal, the former Cardinal closer. Justin Miller, Coda Glover, who have been in that bullpen for a little while. There are no holes on this team, John. Rockstar starting rotation, really good bullpen. And by the way, if their bullpen sucks, what are they going to do? Make a trade.
Probably.
That's what they always do.
Or just let their starters just keep pitching. That's what they'd add to.
There's no holes in this batting lineup, John. Gomes or Suzuki, Zimmerman, Dozier, Trey Turner, Rendon, Soto, Robles, and Eaton. There's no holes. That's eight strong. I'm just saying, man. And by the way, the number that Vegas has on the Washington Nationals, they won 82 last year. They have them at 88.5. The Cardinals are another problem, John. If we talk about wild card,
right?
The Cardinals added Andrew Miller. Did you all know that? How come we don't have Andrew Miller on our team, John? He's like the Swiss Army knife relief pitcher. Oh, by the way, they got Paul Goldschmidt for nothing. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember. I know.
So, like, St. Louis, to me, has moved ahead of our Braves.
Hey, let's give away $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
beef. B-E-E-F. Beef is your code word. You got to text beef to 72881. I'm going to read you some lyrics real quick. What's beef? Beef is when you need two gats to go to sleep. Beef is when your moms ain't safe up in the streets. Beef is when I see you guaranteed to be in ICU. Beef is the code word. Know who that was?
I want to say NWA.
No, that was Notorious Big. Biggie Smalls.
Okay, well, from that era.
Yeah.
When the lyrics were pretty violent back
then.
Yeah,
they were, and pretty accurate. Beef, it's 72881. That's your chance to win $1,000. Again, beef, B-E-E-F. Surprised Mark didn't play. Where's the beef? The old Wendy's commercial.
Do you and I have
beef
after this debate here on our Braves?
No.
Yo, we got beef?
No, this, yeah, beef.
Do we need to go outside?
Paul's right. Beef is what's for lunch. No, if we're going to have beef, we're going to handle it right here on camera.
Not from Sprouts.
Because I want to see what, like, I want people to actually see on watch929thegame.com what happens. I want to give you some other stuff on Kimbrel. I was doing some research early, and you know I don't do a ton of research, but I do from that
time. I'm impressed.
So the combined ERA of Minter and Vizcaino was 2.28. Craig Kimbrel's ERA last year, 2.74. Minter and Vizcaino combined for 95 strikeouts, 28 walks. Craig Kimbrel, 96 strikeouts, 31 walks. Now, that's not perfect because there were times Minter was in the setup role. There were times Vizcaino was in the setup role. But when you combine the two of them, that was the two closers from a year ago, they were pretty much identical to Craig Kimbrel.
Dude, look, if we don't get Kimbrel and we have Minter or dude, I'm going to cheer for him. I'm going to hope for the best, John. But what I know is this. We're assuming that what we had last year is going to be as good, if not better, this year. I don't think that's a safe assumption. That's all I'm saying. If you put Kimbrel at the back end, the whole bullpen makes sense. We go then, John, from having a middle-of-the-road bullpen to a great bullpen. I think that's the transition. Because our bullpen numbers last year, John, here they are. In terms of ERA, we were 17th. Right in the middle. We had a 4.15. And this is not just Minter and Vizcaino.
Sure.
This is bullpen
this is Winkler,
in general.
This is
okay?
Freeman.
This is all
this is...
of them. We had a 4.15 bullpen in terms of ERA. Again, 17th in Major League Baseball. We had 40 saves, 20 blown saves. We had an opposing batting average in our bullpen of .238, which is okay. It's not great. You'd rather have it. The teams at the top, John, the best bullpens in baseball. The Astros allowed .212. The Cubs allowed .223. The A's allowed .218. The Yanks allowed .219. The Brewers allowed .227. That's batting average against. So we're at .238. that's an extra hit, an extra hit, an extra hit, sure. And losses. And then, you know, some of the other stats I'm going to bore you with, but those are the main ones. 20 blown saves from the entire bullpen. And you're right. A lot of them weren't closer blown saves. Mm-hmm. It was not holding lead in the seventh, not holding lead in the eighth or whatever it was. Dude, I think we have an okay bullpen, John. It's middle of the road. It's got a chance to be like fringy top 10. But again, you're a fast lane guy. So if you go get Craig Kimbrell, it just makes everything slot into place and work. And it just kind of sends a message to, oh, crap, we got Kimbrell back. Right. Are you kidding me? Let's go. Whereas right now, you look, it's just the same dude you had last year. I don't know. I don't get that spark from that.
Well, I'm hoping that the spark becomes a starting pitcher. I know we've kind of dissected that it doesn't look like it's going to go that way. My hope is that you go sign a different outfielder. I don't need Adam Duvall right now as my starting outfielder. And I think they'll get that situated between now and the time pitchers and catchers report. Then I'd go to bullpen. That would be the third thing. And if I could go make a splash with Manny Machado or Bryce Harper, I would have been in that fast lane making many phone calls.
By the way, John, buzzkill on A.J. Pollock. I read while I was laid up the last couple of days. I think we'd have to give up a second-round pick if we go get A.J. Pollock.
It's the major league draft. Who was the Braves' second-round pick last year? I have no idea because I don't care.
I know. I'm with
I'll
you.
Send them 5 second-round picks.
But we know how the Braves covet assets, John.
I know. That they do. Hey, college football cheat sheet coming up next. An interesting odd line when it comes to the Heisman Trophy for next year, plus some dogs conversation. That's all next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
And it's brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way to make you smile at rsandrews.com. So R.S. Andrews will help you to heat your home or cool off your home. And, John, I needed a lot of that the last couple of days with this food poisoning illness that I had. My God, you're sweating hot 1 minute. The next minute, you are ice freezing cold.
Right.
It is so annoying. But let's talk college football, man. You were talking about weird Heisman odds. What you got?
Well, you know, this is the time of the year you start getting some of the preseason odds. And when Mark Owens takes his first trip to Vegas, I'll go ahead and hand him some cash again. That's basically, I'm throwing away because I never get a bet right out there, but I'll do some of the futures bets for college football.
Do you trust that he'll bring the tickets back?
He did eventually. I think he doctored them and actually printed some out. They weren't the real tickets, but I lost anyway, so it was all a moot point. Next year, your two Heisman favorites, we know who they are. They were the QBs of the national championship games, Trevor Lawrence and it's Tua Tagovailoa. Trevor, right now, the favorite, 3-1 odds according to betonline.ag. Tua Tagovailoa, 4-1 odds. I think Travis Etienne is in there as well somewhere. I'd have to look. But the article that I'm reading becomes very interesting because it has three guys that are tied together, two being former Georgia quarterbacks or current Georgia quarterback, and one being a current Georgia running back. So all with 12-1 odds, you have Jake Fromm, you have Justin Fields, the new quarterback of Ohio State, who might not even be eligible to play this year. We're still trying to figure that out. And tailback DeAndre Swift for the University of Georgia. How do you feel? And you know what's funny? I think Randy and I were talking about this, or John Chuckery and I were talking about this. Jake Fromm might be the fourth or third best quarterback coming back in college football next year when you really start to look around the country. And he has the same odds as a guy that he beat out for a job and hasn't really taken a meaningful snap when the game's on the line, other than a fake punt.
Interesting. Well, I can tell you this. Let me break down the quarterback thing in a minute. But if Clemson wanted to get Travis Etienne a Heisman Trophy, they could do it.
They could.
Alabama did it with Derrick Henry. But Tavian Feaster will be behind Travis Etienne again this year. Adam Choice is going to move on. He was a senior. Presumably, they've got another 5-star, 220-pound stud ready to run the rock. Okay, so you know they may go with that 3-back approach, and it's not really a true mix and match 3-back approach. Etienne is the standout dude, but they give series and little sequences to these other guys to keep them fresh, and just because they got all these mouths to feed, if they wanted to, they could get Travis Etienne to 2,500 yards and 30 touchdowns. They could do that. And if you get to that high with the stats, a running back could actually win the award. That ain't going to happen, though. They're bringing back Amari Rodgers, T. Higgins, and Justin Ross. With Hunter Renfro moving on, the balls will be flying.
Wait. Hunter Renfro's finally gone.
Finally out of eligibility.
You win three national titles in 81, 2016, and 2018, and he's finally out of eligibility.
What you did. Was that Danny Ford?
Yeah, Danny Ford. They didn't throw it very much back then, but yeah, Hunter Renfro with three championships.
And, John, if the Georgia Bulldogs wanted to get DeAndre Swift a Heisman Trophy or at least a trip to New York, it's their form.
Sure.
It is their form. There's no doubt in my mind with the appropriate amount of carries that DeAndre Swift could be a 2,000-yard running back in college football. He'd have to be healthy to do it, but let's assume he'd be healthy, no groin issues, no nothing going on. He could be a 2,000-yard back. Okay, so that's a theoretical conversation, a possibility that won't happen. Fields and Fromm, I really don't think they should be tied right now.
I don't either.
I think that Justin Fields should have lower odds than Jake Fromm ain't winning the Heisman Trophy
well,
next
he's
year.
Not, we know that. But
we don't know that Justin Fields isn't winning the Heisman next year. I mean, we
also don't know if he's playing next
right,
year.
But the thing about Fromm is, I'm not dissing Fromm when I say this. I'm a Jake Fromm fan. Georgia does not rack up style points a la Urban Meyer, a la Steve Spurrier.
No doubt.
They just don't roll that way. And you've got to rack up – when you rack up style points, John, you know that you rack up stats. And to win the Heisman, you need stats. Baker Mayfield, stats. Kyler Murray.
Stats.
Stats. Better stats than Tua Tagovailoa, right? I know the – and we talk about level of competition, and I didn't think Murray should have won it, but it is what it is. The unbelievable, gaudy, historic stats that he put up won him the Heisman Trophy and obviously the win-loss total that you had there. But to me, that's – and you talk about best player in college football, and I get that. That's college football thinking, Heisman thinking. I've told you all, I apply MVP thinking to the Heisman Award, which is best combo of awesome stats and win-loss record. But I think Justin Fields should actually be separated from Jake Fromm and a little bit higher on that list. I think he has a better chance of winning the Heisman next year, assuming he is cleared to play with Ohio State, than Jake Fromm.
I think one thing we've saw and have seen in the past now with the Heisman Trophy, you're no longer going to get the, I don't want to say game manager, because Jake Fromm's not a game manager. Jake Fromm is a guy that runs the system that they ask him to run. They're a run-based offense. He throws when he needs to. But gone are the days of, you know, I'm just trying to think of some names. Eric Crouch had good numbers. Gone are the days of guys that are going to throw for 2,500 yards and 20 touchdowns. You know Jake Fromm had 30 touchdowns last year? I did not. We looked that up over the weekend. We were like, how many touchdowns did Jake Fromm throw for? And I said, I don't know, 22, 23. He had 30 touchdown passes. So even in a run-based offense, Jake Fromm still had the – the problem is he doesn't put up the gaudy yardage. He gets you 250. You feel like you've thrown for a million yards on the day.
Good point, John. But the other thing about that is, 30 touchdowns for Jake Fromm is a really good number when you consider how heavy the run – is the fact that you had Justin Fields kind of vulturing a little bit of playing
sure.
time, a lot of blowouts where you didn't play in the fourth quarter. 30 TDs is pretty impressive. However, John, to win the Heisman, you need 50.
Yep.
Okay? Dwayne Haskins had 50. 50!
And still didn't win it.
And still didn't win it. Tua Tagovailoa had, 45, 47, whatever the hell number it was. He didn't win it. Kyler Murray had 50. He won it. So, Jake Fromm, to me, isn't even close. I just don't think he's close. In terms of his importance to his team, he's an MVP type of candidate. But in terms of the Heisman Award, Lamar Jackson beat Deshaun Watson because of stats. He did not beat Deshaun Watson with win-loss total because, remember, they lost three out of the last four, whatever it was that year. He beat him with stats. He also beat him because a lot of people put their vote to bed early, which I don't think is going to be the case anymore, John.
Well, and it didn't happen this year because if they put their votes to bed early, Tua would have ran away with the award.
No doubt, which I think Tua should have won the award. But I like the fact that people waited and waited and waited and then did their vote. I do like that. I think that's a positive trend.
Some other names that are up there that you could throw out for Heisman guys. Jonathan Taylor's getting some love.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Sam Ellinger getting some love. Jerry Jeudy getting some love.
Now, is Ellinger above Fields and Fromm?
No.
He's a little bit below. I'm not mad at Ellinger being odded by Vegas to win the Heisman. He's sort of one of those deep, dark horse type guys. Who was the other guy you said with Ellinger?
Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, see, too, I love him. But he shouldn't even have odds for the Heisman.
Well, they'll put odds on everybody now. Come on, they're going to have Justin Herbert's got odds. They're all going to get odds.
Alabama fans, just trust your boy here. Don't even waste a $10 bill. Don't even waste a yummy Jimmy John's sub with the chips and a drink on a $10 bet at 500-1 on Jerry Jeudy?
14, plus 1,400 is what he is.
So that's 14-1.
Yep.
Come on. I literally, John, you could make that 1,000-1. I'm not putting $10 on it.
I'd put 10 bucks. Why
not? It's a waste of money.
Yeah, it's $10.
When's the last time a wide receiver? What, didn't we just have this conversation with Tim Brown, Raheem Ismail?
Yeah, it was Desmond Howard back in 1992.
Why am I saying Raheem Ismail? I meant Desmond Howard.
Well, that was his name, Raheem Ismail.
Whoa. Too many parties.
There was Rocket Ismail, played for Notre Dame.
Yeah, there was
Desmond Howard, played for Michigan.
But two different dudes.
Yeah.
All right, why am I getting... What, Raheem Ismail, was he close to Heisman?
I think he won that. No, he, you know what? He finished second behind Ty Detmer.
Aha. Okay, that's why I'm tripping out. Desmond frigging Howard,
yep,
who was Super Bowl MVP, too, by the way, when the Packers beat
as
the
a return
Patriots.
Man.
How about that? But Desmond Howard, Tim Brown, who else? Who am I missing here? Heisman at the wideout position.
Yeah, there ain't many that win.
So I'm just saying, I love Jerry Jeudy. He should not be on that list.
We chronicled this. This is a running back, but more so quarterback award. Like 70% of the last 20 years or more have been quarterbacks. So bet a quarterback, pick a quarterback, and go from there. I mentioned this over the week. I think Jake Fromm's either the third or fourth best quarterback returning to college football. We know one and two. It's Lawrence and Tua. The only other person in the conversation for me is Justin Herbert. And after really watching him this year, he's a better pro prospect than Jake Fromm. I'd rather have Jake Fromm as my quarterback right now than Justin Herbert.
Well, why wouldn't we rather have Justin Fields than Jake Fromm?
He couldn't beat him out on campus.
Yeah, but maybe there were politics involved with not beating him.
Maybe, but what I saw is a kid that didn't win the job and then ran away, went somewhere else.
Look, you might be right. I'm just saying that I think there's a possibility that Justin Fields is a better returning quarterback this year than Jake Fromm. I am doing some research on the side with some of my free time on college football. I'm trying to rack my brain here, John. Fromm is definitely in the conversation for, look, outside of Lawrence and Tua, and then you go down to Tier 2, he's very prominently in Tier 2, I think. I would not put him in the same breath as Tua or Trevor.
No, and nobody would. Those two are the preeminent quarterbacks coming back next year. Fields, we hope, is good. Kellen Mond maybe can make a next step at Texas A&M. Sam Ellinger at Texas. I think Adrian Martinez is a guy that's going to come back with a lot of hype at Nebraska, although he's still got a long way to go to be into that discussion. Who else in the Big Ten? Shea Patterson? No.
Nah, not more than Fromm.
There's nobody in the ACC. I mean, that is a brand-new quarterback league there.
Ian Book to me.
Yeah,
Ian Book's
in the conversation.
In the conversation with Fromm. I think I'd still rather have Fromm.
No doubt I'd rather have Fromm.
But he's in the conversation. I'm kind of scrolling down here. I'm just mentioning it, but not that he's in the Fromm category. But Jacob Eason, you recall, will be the Washington quarterback this year. A lot of these teams.
Oklahoma's going to have a new quarterback. Okie State's going to have a new West Virginia.
Penn State.
Yeah. So I said Jake Fromm is the dude.
Washington State, I think you just said them. Fromm, I'm kind of scrolling through here. Fromm would be, like I said, safely in Tier 2.
When you look at quarterbacks making the move, Tate Martell, who was calling out Justin Fields, and then he left campus. He decided last night where he's going to school. He's going to the U.
The U.
Yeah, he's going there. He's actually lawyered up trying to get a waiver to be immediately eligible.
Did he hire Thomas Mars?
I don't know who he hired.
I'm looking it up right now.
Also, he can graduate from Ohio State in May, which would make him immediately eligible as well. So there could be a new quarterback in the QB room at Coral Gables. Jalen Hurts is still yet to decide where he's going to go to college. I think he's going to make the decision in the next couple of days. Maryland right now seems like the front runner for Jalen Hurts.
Why? If I'm Miami, I want Jalen Hurts and Tate Martell.
I do too.
I want them both.
I do too.
Bring them on. Well, but like you said, look, as soft as the NCAA is nowadays, and it's a good soft, I believe that they will allow Tate Martell and Justin Fields and all these guys. Why don't they just open up free agency in college football?
They don't want to
be done with it.
They don't want to do it all the way.
No, because it's the haves controlling the have-nots. Wait, I just got political.
Read Between the Lines coming up next with our have, Mark Owens.
You know, sometimes there's an athlete that wants to give you advice. And this athlete has done something that no one else has done. And when he wants to give you advice, you had better listen. And we'll let you hear that next. Sports Radio 910 on the Game.
All right, let's get right to it, y'all. Mark Owens with Read Between the Lines. At the top of the hour, we are going to talk about the Joseph Martinez 5-year extension. Also, an honor for Calvin Ridley. And M.O. will dive back into this Tack McKinley news as well. What you got, bro?
Since your tummy wummy ache is feeling better, I did want you to hear this clip, a little catch-up from yesterday. Here's Snoop Dogg calling a hockey game.
Hands up.
Oh, watch out. Oh, he stole on him. He fired on cuz. Hold on now. Oh, get it cracking then. Let's go. Snoop Dogg in the house. Let me see some.
I thought you might enjoy that.
The he stole him. Get it cracking then, cuz. Snoop Dogg in the house.
Come on, man.
Hands up.
Oh, watch out. Oh, he stole on him. He fired on cuz. Hold on now.
Now,
get it cracking then. Let's go.
Don't be mad that Snoop did not pronounce or try to pronounce any of the Russian names. Okay? Don't, because I don't know him. He don't know him. None of us know him.
The better part, later on in the clip, he literally asked, oh, number 32, who is that? He asked the play-by-play guy who the guy was that was fighting. Snoop just being Snoop, and that was hilarious.
Like, number three wanted. I liked that. Who was number three for us?
Deion Phaneuf.
Deion, go get cracking, Deion.
Yeah,
go get him, Deion. Get him, Deion. Move, Deion. Get out the way.
Are you kidding me? That is priceless. That is play-by-play gold. And I know he's not even really calling the game. He's kind of putting a Snoop slash freestyle slash play-by-play on it.
Yeah, he was the analyst on the call.
Oh, my God.
Now, did Ice Cube give you the same analyzation when he was on with you?
So to give you the background, we were doing an alternate broadcast with celebrities of NBA games, and I was the play-by-play guy. It was more of a hosting than a play-by-play. Cube was cool, but Cube, he didn't really want to be there. You know what I'm saying? I think he had better things to do with that quarter of that basketball game. But I used to do a hockey play-by-play in college. It is the toughest thing I've had to do as a broadcaster, bar none, period, end of story. The speed of it, the number recognition of it, the line changes of it, it was crazy. And so I applaud Snoop for giving that a shot, man. I thought that was great.
My theory is that Snoop is getting tired of having to be in character 24/7 just because listen to how excited. This is a side of Snoop that we never hear, this excitement.
Hands up.
Oh, watch out. Oh, he stole on him. He fired on cuz. Hold on now.
You never hear Snoop that. He always has to be, yeah, what's up? Snoop, Joker's wild. All right. He finally had a chance to break out of character for 5 minutes and be somebody different.
Can you please clip off he fired on cuz for the weekend review? He said he
oh,
fired on
oh, he stole on him. He fired on cuz. Hold on now.
That's the greatest.
I haven't heard stole since I was in high school. He stole on him. That means you got sucker punched a little bit. He stole on him.
I do need a translation for a lot of it.
He fired on cuz.
He said he fired on cuz.
Did you see when Adam Gase was getting introduced to the press conference?
Yes.
The taco?
Yeah, the crazy eyes.
The crazy eyes. Did you see the taco video, though?
No.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Okay, at Rick and John 929, at Rick and John 929, we just retweeted it. Somebody put a little animated taco that follows his crazy eyes around during the press conference. It is brilliant.
Not a taco.
It is brilliant. So while they're checking that out, so most of the fan base, not super impressed by the hire of Adam Gase, new head coach of the Jets. But I know you're watching it.
I'm watching it right now. What is wrong with him?
No, what's wrong with people that have time to put a taco up there and have him eyeballing the taco?
What was in his coffee before this press conference?
Meth!
Look at this guy!
It's almost like when you get a laser pointer with a cat in the room.
Yes, except he wasn't doing the paw thing.
At Rick and John.
Does he need to dial down the Adderall prescription? I don't know. Maybe down to 10 migs?
I don't know what. I don't know if it was the four-letter network that said the guy's never been comfortable in front of a crowd. So maybe it's one of those where he hates being the center of attention.
That's going to work out real well with the New York media.
So with that being said, Jet CEO Christopher Johnson, he reminds the fans, already kind of clapping at the fans saying, I don't care about your tweets. I'm not here to win Twitter.
I get it. Part of it is based on their, I have to earn their trust. We just had a couple of down years. I have to earn their trust. I think that they will see this as, if not right now, they'll see it pretty soon as a great hire. And I'm not trying to win Twitter, I'm trying to win football games.
But you didn't win Twitter, I can tell you that much, unless you watch the taco meme that's up at Rick and John 929.
I do like the phrase, I'm not trying to win Twitter. That's pretty dope.
Well, they haven't been trying to win football games since Joe Namath was the quarterback.
Yeah. Or Richard Todd, your boy.
Oh, they stunk with Richard Todd.
I do kind of like, I like we're not trying to win Twitter. I think that's a pretty good clap back right there. Raise your hand if you think it's going to work out with Adam Gase with the New York Jets. Raise your hand. Let's go around the room here. Nobody's raising their hand.
No, was Rich Kotite not available?
A rare accord. here with the Midday Show with Rick and John.
No, nobody likes Adam Gase. If I did my eyes like that, I'd pass out.
Is Sean Thompson's our underboss, assistant program director, for real? Like, it would, like, screw you with your eyes, right? He cannot be on board with this hire, is he?
I mean, he's a Jets fan.
Smooth, if you're listening, come on out here. Thumbs up or thumbs down on Adam Gase.
I don't know. I just want tacos now. Street underboss out to the food truck. One more for you. Former Falcon Brave football pro football Hall of Famer, the only athlete to play in a World Series and a Super Bowl, Deion Sanders. He was on ESPN. And has some advice for Kyler Murray on his decision to go pro versus playing baseball.
So you think that he should pick one or the other, or is there one in particular you think he should go to?
Life won't allow him to. This game won't allow him to at his position.
Mm-hmm.
If I was in his shoes, I'm picking up the baseball bat, and I'm not looking back.
Why?
Because that's just for me. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes I still have regret that I didn't give it more. But I got a gold jacket in the closet. I'm straight. But I wish I would have given it more. But for Kyler, that's tough at his position. And I don't think he realized the ridicule that you go through once you declare and say, I'm going to be a football player. Now people start talking about your height, your size, what you can't do. He hadn't dealt with that yet.
Yeah, I
think he could do whatever he wants to do. He's that kind of athlete.
I'm not mad at Deion for giving that advice. He said, if I were him, I'd pick up the baseball bat and run with it.
He totally contradicted himself at the end of that soundbite, though. He said he can do whatever he wants to do. He's a special athlete, but he should play football. That's all over the place from Deion Sanders, who I'm a big fan of. That's cryptic to me. And by the way, Kyler Murray doesn't know that he's going to get, poked and prodded about his height and have doubt. Dude, the Twitter poll that I just ran, when the news came out he was going to declare, two-thirds of the people on my poll said that he should be a baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
Two-thirds. So there's a lot of people who are already hating on the size and all that kind of stuff. I'm betting on him, man. I think he's going to overcome the odds and be a hell of an NFL player.
He won't be able to do both. And I think that's, the difference. People say, well, Brian Jordan did both. Bo Jackson did both. Deion Sanders did both. Those guys were unbelievable athletes at both. The difference was playing quarterback, especially in today's day and age, the intricacy that goes into being a quarterback at the NFL level, you can't do it part-time. So he would have to choose one or the other. And if you go football, you're probably never going back to baseball. But I think he could go baseball and just say two years in, it ain't working. He's hitting 250 at the minor league level and he's kind of scuffling. Go back to the NFL.
I don't want to diminish the intelligence required to play any NFL position, but when you are an unbelievable athlete like the guys you just mentioned, Brian Jordan, Bo Jackson, and Deion Sanders, you can kind of sort of show up on game day and play cornerback or running back.
You can't show up and play quarterback.
You can't show up and play quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Cornerback and running back are athletic positions.
Right.
I'm better than you. I'm faster than you. I'm quicker than you. I got better hands than you, all that kind of stuff. Quarterback, dude, you have to live in that quarterback room and study it, and it has to become your life. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So, big difference playing running back and quarterback versus cornerback versus quarterback.
And I think that's part of why Deion Sanders said, listen to me and go play baseball. Just go do it. Go take advantage of that. Go make that money there. If you're good, you're going to be playing until you're 38 years old, 39 years old anyway.
Let's get you on the record right now. I think he should play football. I think he's going to be good at football. What says you?
I think he should play baseball. He's already got the money there. What do I think he's going to do? You entered into the NFL draft. You didn't do that just for blanks and giggles.
But you think he should play baseball?
I'd play baseball.
All right, let's see how it plays out.
Read Between Lines is all brought to you by our buddies at Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org.
I'm not trying to win Twitter. I'm trying to win football games.
Oh, watch out. Oh, he stole on him. He final cut. Hold on now.
Beautiful. We'll hear that again, I assume.
Oh, we're going to hear a lot more of this. That's Snoop Dogg.
He fired on cuz.
If I had a touchscreen hotkey in here, every time you said a hot take, he fired on cuz. That would be the new Rick Kamla hot take, like, sound effect. Hey, Joseph Martinez, how long is he sticking around with Atlanta United? That'll lead off around the 404 next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Oh, he stole on him. He fired on cuz. Hold on now.
Dukes and... We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.